Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message this morning is our epistle reading from the book of Jude, verses 20 through 25. I'd like to draw your attention to verse 21 again, where Jude directs our attention as we look to Jesus' return by saying, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life." This is our text. Most of us know this. It doesn't take long to forget all kinds of things, whether they are trivial or matters of great importance. We've all been there. Whether you're young or old, it's not just an old person thing. By the time you get out to the garage, for example, you can't remember why you went out there in the first place. That's called a hereafter moment. Just days or weeks after a major event like hurricanes or terrorist attacks or school shootings, most of the world forgets all about it and moves on to the next big thing that's on the headlines. Though you know you are baptized into Christ, and you have heard God's Ten Commandments, as well as Christ's promise of forgiveness through His blood countless times, you and I daily forget who we really are in Christ. And we fall to the temptations and the deceptions and the desires of this world, living, acting, speaking often, just like those around us who know nothing at all about Jesus and the fact that He is coming again at any moment. This is Jude's concern, the author of our epistle reading today. He begins his little letter of only 25 verses saying that he is, quote, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, whose mother and father were Mary and Joseph. So, though this little book is often forgotten among the other big-name authors of Scripture, Jude raises a major concern today about the Christians, not only in his day, but in every age, including ours. You see, the problem that Jude raises is that apparently those in the Christian church of his day were forgetting who Jesus is and what Jesus taught them. And it had only been around 35 years after Jesus had died on the cross, been raised in victory over sin and death, and ascended to the right hand of the Father. But, as I've already mentioned, it doesn't take very long for us to forget even life-altering events like that. Most of the apostles had already been killed because of their faith. John is the only one that we know for sure was alive when Jude wrote this letter. But he says in verse 3, "I found it necessary to write, appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to you, or to the saints, by those apostles before him." So, why are they needing to contend for the faith? Because, Jude says, ungodly people have crept into the church, perverting the grace of God and denying Jesus Christ. For this reason, Jude says in verse 5, "I want to remind you." Now, he's not going to tell us he wants to remind us if he doesn't think we've forgotten something. "I want to remind you of two important truths that you once fully knew, but apparently they were now forgetting about Jesus. First, that Jesus both saves those who believe, and second, that He destroys those who do not." And what's interesting is that Jude affirms Jesus' eternal existence because he backs up this truth by using two examples that date back before Jesus took on human flesh. He references the people of Israel in slavery to Pharaoh in Egypt, and he talks about how Jesus, not God, he says, I mean, they're the same, but he specifies Jesus saved those people, but destroyed Pharaoh's army. And then he talks about the angels from the time soon after creation who rebelled against God, who Jude says Jesus, quote, has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Now Jude says these and others are to serve as an example to all of us. Why? In verses 10 and 11, he says that these people, that is the ones sneaking their way into the church, quote, blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they understand instinctively in their corrupt, sinful nature. Woe to them, Jude says in verse 13, for they are wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. And that's not the end of Jude's harsh warning. He describes these people's actions and their characteristics so that we, you and I, can all identify them, or maybe even see if we ourselves are churning into one of them. Verse 16, quote, these are the grumblers, the malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. Unquote. And then in verse 17, Jude turns the corner from calling the church who has fallen into the sin of following these unbelieving influences and are forgetting Jesus, back to the truth when he says, but you must remember. You must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They already told us that in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions who cause divisions, Jude says. They are worldly people, he says, without the Spirit, meaning they do not have or have lost their faith. Wow, Pastor, you're probably thinking, this is such a cheery message. Those are some pretty tough warnings, some pretty difficult accusations against the Church of Christ. And you're right. But remember, they come straight from God in His holy word, not me. And why? Because even if and when his people within the church have forgotten him, Jude wants to make sure that we know that God never has and never will forget you. There are so many examples in Scripture from the beginning to the very end of this. Looking just, for example, at the people of Israel again in Egypt. Exodus 3, verse 7 tells us what God said when he called Moses to represent him and lead his people. Then Yahweh said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. And further back, after Noah and his family had been floating around for 150 days, likely thinking that they were all alone in the ark, Genesis 8, verse 1 says, God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. More than once, King David, who was prone to depression and despair, tells us things like this in Psalm 18, verse 6. In my distress, I called upon Yahweh. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. And Psalm 40, verse 1, I awaited patiently for Yahweh. He inclined to me and heard my cry. But perhaps the greatest, the most comforting, the most reassuring evidence that Jesus remembers those who believe and call upon him is found in Luke 23, verses 42 and 43. Where the convicted thief hanging on the cross next to Jesus came to repentance and faith based purely upon what he was witnessing there on Mount Calvary. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. As Jude says in verse 25, the only one who has all glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever, he's the one who remembers you by calling you, by loving you, by keeping you with him here in his church. Yes, Jesus always has been and always will be mindful of you. He's the one who called you through the waters of baptism, joining you to himself and adopting you with all other believers into his Christian family. He continues to love you and feed you with his word and sacramental fruits. And he promises to keep you in the one true faith. In his protective hand, he says in John 10, as his beloved sheep, until the day that you see him face to face. Until that day, whether it is the day of your earthly death or the day of his promised return, Jesus led and inspired Jude to leave us seven activities, seven things to guide us in remembering Jesus, so that we will remain spiritually awake until that day, as Jesus tells us we must in our gospel reading today. Now, the first four of those activities are things that we believers must be doing in our own lives. Number one, verse 20. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Faith always has an object. Otherwise, it's nothing but a word. In other words, you have to have something to believe in or else you don't have faith. So, in what or whom do you believe? The only true triune God, right? As he has revealed himself and shown himself to us in Scripture and through the Holy Spirit. Left alone or influenced by beliefs outside of the Bible, this faith will likely, almost always, be forgotten and die. So friends, we must daily listen to God in his word. Gather together in his church for worship and Bible study each Sabbath as he commands in the third commandment, and thereby continue to grow in our faith until the end. Number two, continuing in verse 20, pray in the Holy Spirit. Prayer is nothing more than having a heart-to-heart conversation with the one in whom our faith is based. And it's the Holy Spirit who leads us to pray according to God's word as we confess our sins to him, as we receive his forgiveness in Jesus, and as we seek his guidance for how we are to live for him. Number three, verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. This is the call for us to do anything and everything that we can, with God's help, of course, to stay in the faith that God so lovingly gave to us at our baptism. Number 4 continues in verse 21. Waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you might say, waiting? I thought I already had his mercy. Now, mercy is what happens when you do not get what you deserve. And though we have already received Christ's mercy and his forgiveness and faith, this is the call for us never to doubt, never to grow tired, never to become discouraged as we wait for Jesus to come. He has promised, and we will see the fulfillment of his mercy in eternal life. And he never goes back on a promise. We may not deserve it still, but it is ours because of Jesus and his mercy. Now, having offered encouragement as to how we believers ourselves should live, Jude then adds 3 ways that God intends for us to live with and show his love to others. Especially, as verse 22 says, to those who doubt. The first is that we are to, quote, have mercy on those who doubt, unquote. As Jude said earlier, you and I are not the ones in charge of a person's final judgment, are we? Even Jesus allowed himself to be rejected by the world. So when you and I share Jesus and his message of law and gospel with this world, he allows sinners the free will still to reject his gift of salvation. Our job is to not worry about that, as Jude says, but it is to keep on showing them the same mercy that Jesus has shown to us, no matter what. Second, in verse 23, save others by snatching them out of the fire. Jesus saved us from the fire of God's deserved wrath, snatching us from the very destruction that we earned in our sin. Now, as those already snatched from judgment by his grace, God wants to use us to be the example to others, to let him use the story of our undeserved salvation as we share it with others as the catalyst for him to graciously snatch and save them from destruction as well. And third, in verse 23, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. At your baptism, Jesus clothed you in the robe of his own righteousness. So why? Why would any of us or our congregation knowingly and willingly soil that precious gift with our unrepentant sin? Instead, Jude takes us back to verse 4 and he warns us not to pervert the grace of our God as some were doing in his day, but instead to righteously hate all sin out of love and respect for Jesus. That is a lot for us to remember as we wait for Jesus, isn't it? So here's a way to boil it all down to one key point. Remember. I got your attention? Remember Jesus. That's it! Now, remembering always assumes there is a past to remember. So, daily, that means live in God's Word, recalling and celebrating what God has already done and promises to do for you in Jesus. He gave his life for you. He conquered death for you. He sent his Spirit to grant you faith, forgiveness, life, and salvation. And he has promised to return in glory for you and for all who believe in him. at the same time that he promises to destroy those who do not. In John 14, verse 26, Jesus promises, quote, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things," and here it is, "and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." You see, Jesus remembers you. And that's how you and I remember him. So, now to him, Jude says, who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds and keep you in Jesus today and forever. Amen.